following sermon was delivered to Christ Central Church in order to strengthen and equip us as we seek to live as a Christ-centered family on mission. We pray that it strengthens your faith in and love for our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, Ephesians chapter 2, we see what is really a roller coaster ride of our lives. We begin with this truth, the fact that we are all dead in our trespasses and sins. We see in these verses that God takes us from death all the way to life. We see in these verses that we are slaves. The way Paul says it is that we are following the course, the pattern of this world, following the prince of the power of the air who's at work in the sons of disobedience. We are slaves to our passions, slaves to our flesh, controlled by the evil one and this world that is anti-God against him. But we go from slaves to free men in Christ Jesus. Death to life, slaves to free. This is what Paul is showing us in Ephesians chapter 2, that God is doing in us. He's giving us life. He's taken hearts of stone and creating them into hearts of flesh. He's taken men and women and children who are slaves to sin, slaves to their passions, freeing them in Christ Jesus. And then now in the last few verses of Ephesians chapter 2, in this first section, we see that all of this is done by grace through faith. So from dead to life, from slaves to free, by grace, through faith, not by works, but for works. If you're going to boil down all of the first 10 verses of chapter 2, this is how I would do it. Death to life, slaves to free, by grace, through faith, not from works, but for works. Kent Hughes says it this way, of these 10 verses, that Paul takes us to amazing depths, dead in our trespasses and sins, to amazing heights. We've been made alive together in Christ and raised us up and seated us with Him in the heavenly places, to amazing grace. By grace you have been saved through faith, and to amazing works. And this morning, as we close out this first section of Ephesians chapter 2, this is what we will see in these three verses, verses 8, 9, and 10. If you take notes, you can write this down. This will serve as our structure this morning for our sermon. And it is this, that salvation is all of God, not by works, but for works that are all of God. Salvation is all of God, not by works, but for works that are all of God. The very first thing we see in these three verses in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8, is that salvation is all of God. Salvation is all of God. Paul says it this way, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Paul emphasizes once again that it is the grace of God that is the source of our salvation. The grace of God is the source of our salvation. We see this in the very first word in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved. This by grace is a statement of source. What is the source of our salvation? The source of our salvation is grace. It's grace. So what is grace? How can we define grace? Well, we know what grace is and how it is tied together with mercy. We've already seen this theme of mercy in Ephesians chapter 2, that God is rich in mercy. And now that we have been saved by grace. And so what is the difference between mercy and grace? And what exactly is grace? Well, mercy can be defined as not getting what we deserve. That is mercy. When we have trespassed God's law, we've broken God's law, therefore we deserve the just wrath of God in our life. God's mercy is His willingness to not give us what we deserve. That's mercy, not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. Mercy, not getting what we deserve. Grace, instead, receiving what we do not deserve. So, when we have sinned, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, for we are all dead in our trespasses and sins. Need is a great need of mercy and grace. Why? Because sin demands the right judgment of God, the wrath of God, and God's mercy is Him not giving us wrath. And God's grace, in turn, is God giving us redemption, God giving us forgiveness, God giving us justification. This is God's grace to us, giving us what we do not deserve. Last week, we talked some about what grace is, and we used this quote from J.I. Packer. And this is what he says, and reminder again this week. In the New Testament, grace means God's love in action toward people who merited the opposite of love. So this is God loving us, giving us love when we did not deserve love. God's love in action towards people who merited, who deserved, who earned the opposite of love. Grace means God moving heaven and earth to save sinners who could not lift a finger to save themselves. Grace means God sending His only Son to the cross to descend into hell so that we guilty ones might be reconciled to God and received into heaven. This is God's grace. God moving in love towards us when we did not deserve love. God sending His Son to descend to the depths of hell to take on the wrath of God so that instead God could give us reconciliation and receive us into heaven. I like this idea of grace, that grace is love downward. Grace is love downward. What do I mean by that? Well, Jerry Bridges says this, that grace is the love of God shown to the unlovely. It is God reaching downward to people who are in rebellion against Him. That grace is love downward. Grace at its core, by definition, is unmerited. It is undeserved, right? Grace is receiving something that we do not deserve. Unmerited, undeserved. Grace is when someone stronger, better, or higher is reaching down to someone weaker, lesser, and lower. This is what God does in Christ Jesus. This is the source of our salvation. As the holy God who is higher than us, greater than us, stronger than us, reaches down in love to those who are weaker, who are lesser, and who are lower. Grace is love downward. Grace, by definition, is also a gift. Romans chapter 3 verses 23 and 24 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." God's grace given to us is not in response to anything in us, but is solely because of his character. God, by his very nature, is gracious. So when Paul says, "For by grace you've been saved," this is a statement of source of our salvation. That we have salvation because of the grace of God. The downward love of God. The gift of God. Giving us something that we have not deserved. For by grace you have been saved. You've been saved. What does this mean to be saved? I mean, we throw this word around a lot in the church. Saved. What does it mean to be saved? Well, it means to be justified. That's what to be saved means, to be justified. Now, that's a big churchy word, justified. What does that mean, to be justified? It means to be made right with God. To be justified means to be made right with God. Remember, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. That our sins have separated us from God, and that separation has brought death. That there's been separation between us and God because of our sins. Justification, then, makes us right before God, in right standing before God. It reconnects us to Him. It means that God no longer counts our sins against us. This is justification. By grace, the free gift, the downward love, the unmerited grace of God, the unmerited gift of God, for by grace you have been saved. This word saved in the Greek is the word sozo, and it means literally to rescue from danger. To rescue from danger. Well, what is the danger? For by grace you have been rescued from danger. What is this danger that grace has rescued us from? The danger is the wrath of God. That's the danger that God has rescued us from by His grace. To be saved means to be delivered from the penalty of messianic judgment. To be delivered from the penalty of messianic judgment. Here's what that means. Our sin, your sin, my sin, that separates and has brought death, demands the judgment of Christ. And to be saved by grace means that we've been delivered from that judgment. We've been rescued from that danger. The just wrath of God. What's happening in this phrase, by grace you have been saved, is that God has taken men and women who were dead in their trespasses and sins, who are by nature children of what? Wrath. And instead is now counting Christ's righteousness in place of our sin. See, this is grace. Grace is receiving the righteousness of Christ. The unmerited love of God. This free gift of the righteousness of Christ in place of our sin. This is the source of our deliverance. That God gives this as a free gift to people who do not deserve it. Who don't deserve it. The Vines Dictionary, Theological Dictionary, uses this definition for grace. To be saved. And I liked it. To be saved means to heal or to make whole. To be saved means to heal or to make whole. So it's by grace, this unmerited favor of God, God giving us what we do not deserve, which is the righteousness of Christ in place of our sin. in God doing this, God is healing us. He's making us whole. What's he healing us from? He's healing us from the death that sin has brought. He's given us life in Christ through his righteousness. This is done by grace, right? You see it? For by grace you've been saved. This is the source of our salvation, the grace of God, this unmerited favor, God giving us what we do not deserve, so that we could be rescued from the punishment of his wrath and given instead the righteousness of Christ. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Through faith. Grace is the source of our salvation. Faith is the conduit of our salvation. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Grace is the source. How are we saved? We're saved by the grace of God. How do we receive the grace of God? How does it get to us? It gets to us through faith. Faith is the delivery system of God's grace. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, I need the grace of God. Maybe you have, over the last few weeks, by the Spirit of God, realized the depth of your sin, the depravity of your own heart, the spiritual death that you're in, the separation that you have between you and God because of your sin. And you may be asking, how is it that I receive this grace of God, this salvation of God? How do I receive it? The way you receive it is through faith. That's how you receive the grace of God. Through faith. Now, we ought to be asking a question then, shouldn't we? Well, what is faith? If faith is the conduit through which grace comes, and grace is the source of salvation, then what is faith? Well, faith is to put your full weight on something. That's faith. To put your full weight on something. To rest on something. Now, I would say there are three aspects of faith. Three aspects of faith. And in order to have real, genuine, saving faith, you've got to have all three of these things. You've got to have all three of them. The first is knowledge. The second is belief. And the third is trust. Knowledge, belief, and trust. These are the components of faith. And you have to have all three of them. You have to have all three. Knowledge, belief, and trust. Now, what's the difference in these? Well, I'll use an example. You can have a knowledge that a chair was created to hold someone's weight. Like, you can know that, right? You can know it. That's just knowledge. Chairs were made to hold people's weight. That's a knowledge. All right, in the same way, we're talking about faith. Knowledge can be, yes, there is a God. That's knowledge. Yes, there is a God. In the same way, yes, there are chairs, and chairs hold people's weight. Yes, there is a God, and he created everything. That's knowledge. Belief is, yes, I know that chairs were created to hold people's weight. Belief is, I believe that that chair could hold my weight. That's belief. So yes, there is a God. That's knowledge. Belief is a whole lot of things. Yes, I believe that he created the world. Yes, I believe that we sinned against him. Yes, I believe that he has a son, Jesus. Yes, I believe he died on the cross for my sins. See, this is all belief. Knowledge and belief. Now, is that enough to save you? Knowledge and belief. I would say it isn't. Now, why would I say that? Because James teaches us in the book of James, you believe in God? Well, even the demons believe and they shudder. if knowledge and belief were all it took for salvation, then Satan himself and all the demons would be saved. Why? Because they what? They have a knowledge of God. Right? And they believe in God. They believe he's real. They've seen him. So it's not just knowledge and belief that make up faith. You have to have that third component, which is trust. It's one thing to know that a chair was created to hold a person's weight. It's another thing to believe that that chair can hold my weight. But the real test, the real faith comes when you what? You sit in it. When you put your weight on it. When you trust it to hold you. See, this is saving faith. It's a knowledge. It's a belief, and it's a trust. It's a trust that says, there is no other hope for me. There is no other way for me. There is nothing else that can save me. My only hope, my only trust, my only plea is Christ Jesus. Trust and faith is saying, I put everything I've got on Christ. And Christ alone. No work. No religion. It's not just knowledge. It's not just belief. But it's full trust. I would argue that churches across this nation and this world are full of people who think they have saving faith because they have knowledge and belief. But they lack the trust. They're trusting in their religious performance. They're trusting in an experience they had when they were a kid. They're trusting in what their parents taught them. They're trusting in things other than Christ, things that masquerade as Christ, that look religious on the outside, but inside, they just haven't got to the point to where they say, there's absolutely nothing in me that can save me. It is all of Christ and only Christ that is my hope. This is real faith. And this is what Paul means when he says, by grace you've been saved through faith. It's resting in, trusting in the finished work of Christ as your only hope. I would argue that faith is understanding that nothing we do saves us. Not even our faith. Now, wait a minute, Jason. How are you telling me it's not our faith that saves us? Well, this verse is clear, isn't it? What saves us? What's the source of our salvation? It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God that saves us, not our faith that saves us. So there are a whole lot of people that believe that your faith is what saves you. It is not. It is the grace of God that saves you. And you receive that grace through faith. But your faith is not a work. Your faith has not earned the grace of God. Even our faith is from God and not from us. Even our faith, the faith that it takes to receive the grace, is from God. See, I think it's easy for people to realize and to understand that grace is from God. But it's hard sometimes for people to understand that faith is from God. See, we're thinking this faith is something that we have to conjure up on our own. But it isn't. Faith in itself is a gift from God. The Westminster Catechism, which is a catechism is a statement, a sort of a systemized statement of beliefs, of doctrine, theology. Westminster Catechism, one of the most famous over the centuries, incredibly solid. Westminster Catechism defines faith. And this is how it starts. This is how the definition of faith starts. Faith is a saving grace. Now, what does that mean? That faith in itself is a gift from God. Faith is something that God gives us even when we do not deserve it, right? That faith is a gift from God. Is grace a gift from God? Yes. But so is our faith. Paul says it this way. Let's keep reading. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Okay, so what is the this that is the gift of God? You see it? For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. So what is the this? And this is a gift of God. Is it grace or faith? There have been a lot of arguments over what that this is. Is it grace or is it faith? There's some tenses here that make it sort of hard to know. Grace and faith in the Greek are both feminine, but the this is neuter. So it's not, there's not like a clear, it's this one or that one. And I think by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this is on purpose. Because it's showing us, it's teaching us that the this is a gift of God is both grace and faith. Grace that saves us and the faith that gets it to us are both a gift of God. Your faith was not conjured up on your own. It is a gift of God. After all, what can a dead man do? Not a thing. For we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Following the course of this world, following the prince, the power, the air, the sun, that's working the sons of disobedience. We are dead, but we've been made alive together with Christ. How? By grace through faith. Grace and faith, gifts of God. This is what is remarkable about our salvation. That even the part that we do, which is the faith, even the part that we do it only because God does it first. This is why salvation is all of God. Salvation is all of God. He's the source. He's the conduit. He's the giver. He's the life. We're the receiver. Salvation is all of God. What do we see in verse 8? We see that our salvation is all the work of God. For you have been saved by grace through faith. I also said that we would not only see that salvation is all of God, but we'd also see that salvation is not from works, but for works that are all of God. Salvation is all of God. Not from works, but for works. That is all of God. Let's keep looking. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Not a result of works. This is so important. So important. Here's what that means. Not a result of works. Not your own doing. You see this repetition of Paul
Anytime you see repetition in God's word, this is God's way of bringing emphasis to something. This is not of your own doing. This is not of your work. Here's what this means. Now, I hope that you get this. This is fundamental to saving faith. You are not acceptable to God because of what you do or have done. You are not acceptable to God because of what you do or because of what you have done. This is so hard for us to grasp. Because we live in a fallen world. We live in a system that says, I accept you based on what you've done for me. I accept you based on what you contribute. If you've done these things, I reject you. If you've done these things, I accept you. But this is not how Christianity works. We are not accepted by God because of what we do or because of anything we've done. Did you know that Christianity is the only religion in all the world that's able to make this claim? Every other religious system teaches that you are accepted by God based on your performance, based on your work, based on your morality. Every other religion, even parts of Christendom, get this wrong. Orthodox Catholicism teaches that you are accepted by God because of your works. God accepts you if you do these things. Go to Mass, take communion, confess to a priest, do your penance. God accepts you. This is a works-based salvation. This is not salvation that is by grace through faith. This is not a salvation that's built on simply the grace of God, not on our own merit. Every religious system outside of real true Christianity teaches that it's our works and our efforts that make us accepted by God. But real Christianity shows us that it's not our efforts or our works that make us acceptable to God. But in Christ, to be accepted by God comes from God and not from us. Oh, to see that our salvation is in all ways the work of God. That our salvation in all ways is all of God. That there is not a thing we do that merits the grace of God. There is not a thing we do that enables us to have the faith that brings the grace of God. That it is all of God. It is not of our works. It is not of our efforts. Now, do we have to trust? Do we have to have faith? Yes, you have to trust and you have to have faith. But is this a work? Yes, it's a work. But you're not the one doing the work. God is. God is. This is why Paul says, by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Hey, listen, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have absolutely nothing to boast about except God. Except Christ. We didn't earn it. We didn't do it. We couldn't even have the faith unless God gave it to us. Faith is a saving grace. It's all of God. So our only boast is in Christ and in God, who's loved us when we were unlovable. Salvation is all of God, not by works, but for works that are all of God. Let's keep reading verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In verse 10, Paul identifies us as God's workmanship, as His workmanship. What does this mean, that we are God's workmanship? This word workmanship in the Greek is the word poema. And you might hear an English word in that Greek word, poema. Anybody, can you hear an English word in there? Poem. Poem. This is the word from which we get the English word poem, poema. Now that sounds weird, isn't it? You are God's poem. That sounds weird. But here's what it means. The meaning here is that of a work of art. For you are God's workmanship. You're God's work of art. We are, this is what Paul is saying through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we are God's masterwork. We are His masterpiece. For you are His workmanship. His poema means that we are God's masterwork. His masterpiece. Now, normally, when we think about God's creative work, what God has created, what He's made, what do we think of? What do you think of? I think of creation, right? We think of God's works. We think of God's creation and how beautiful it is, how amazing it is. And it is amazing. It is beautiful. As great it is, as it is, as much as it is declaring the glories of God, creation in all its beauty and in all of its splendor is not God's poema. It is not God's masterwork. Another time that I would think, if someone would say, Jason, what would you say is God's masterwork? I would say, well, that's the birth of a child, right? If you're a mom or dad in here and you've held that newborn child in your arm, you've looked at it, you've thought, this is the masterwork of God. And as amazing as that is, even a newborn child is not God's poema. Made in the image of God, yes. Made for the glory of God, absolutely. But is it His poema? It is not. Paul shows us that His masterwork, His masterpiece, is what God creates by faith, or by grace, through faith in Christ Jesus. That's God's masterwork. That's His masterpiece. What He creates by grace, through faith in Christ Jesus. By grace you've been saved. Through faith. This is not of your own doing. It's not of your own doing. It's by the grace of God. So that no one would boast. For we are His workmanship. His masterwork. Here's what that means. That means this morning, if you are in Christ, you are of untold worth. This morning, if you are in Christ, you are God's masterpiece. Now you may be saying, well, Jason, I'll tell you what, I really don't feel like a masterpiece today. Especially when we lost an hour of sleep. Not today. You know what? Our feelings do not determine reality. Your feelings do not determine reality. Who you are is not determined by your feelings. Who you are is determined by the Word of God. And God's Word says that if you have been saved by grace through faith, then you are God's masterpiece. You're His masterwork. That the new life that God gave when He took a dead heart and brought it to life and raised it up and seated it with Christ, that you, with all your faults, with all your blemishes, with all your sins, with all your past, with all your wrongs, you in Christ are God's masterpiece. Your masterwork. Not because of something you did. See, that's where the feeling doesn't matter, right? But because of what God has done. You're His masterpiece. For we are His workmanship, Paul tells us. Created, made by God, in Christ Jesus, for good works. So you see it. The source of salvation, grace. The conduit of salvation, faith. The outcome of this salvation, masterpiece. The purpose of this salvation, good works. Not by works, but for works. What is God doing when He saves us? He's creating us anew for good works. So, good works, the driving force, the purpose of all of this, then we ought to ask a question. And what should that question be? What is good works? What's good works? You see the way you study your Bible? You see some phrases, you see some words, every word matters, every phrase matters. We shouldn't just read them, we ought to stop and say, well, what does that mean? That's what I do. What does that mean? That's how I preach. What does this mean? So what does this mean, good works? That should be the question that we're asking. What are good works? Well, the Heidelberg Catechism, this is another catechism, gives us some definitions of good works, and I feel like these are really good. That there are three components to good works. Three components to good works. What is a good work? It's something that does these three things. First, good works only come from saving faith. Good works only come from saving faith. In Romans chapter 14, verse 23b, Paul says, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Without faith, it is impossible to do good works. The root of good works is faith. Here's what that means. That means if you don't have faith, you cannot do good works. Not the way God has intended it. It must come from faith. Why? Because faith is the conduit for grace. Grace saves. Grace creates a masterpiece for good works. Got to have faith to get grace. Got to have grace to be recreated. Got to be recreated to be a masterpiece. Got to be a masterpiece to do good works. Where does it all flow from? It flows from faith. So what are good works? Things that come from faith. They come from faith. The second component is that it is things that are performed according to God's Word. So good works come from faith. They come from your faith. They're built out of your faith in God. Good works come from faith. And good works are done according to God's Word. You cannot do a good work if you do it outside of what the Word of God teaches. They have to be in line with the Word of God. Good works come from saving faith, performed according to God's Word, and then lastly, done to God's glory. They're done to God's glory. Come from saving faith, the root is faith. Performed according to God's Word, the guide is the Word. Done to His glory, the motive is God's glory, not ours. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your what? Good works. And that their response will be to give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So what are these good works? These are things done from faith, according to the Word of God, for the glory of God. This is good works. Well, Jason, can you get more specific? No, I cannot. That's a whole lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying? If you do it according to faith, by the Word, for His glory, it's a good work. And that's what God has recreated us to do. That's what He's recreated you to do. That's what He's recreated me to do. Things by faith, according to the Word of God, for His glory. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Look at this last phrase. Which God prepared beforehand. Do you catch what this means? That even the good works we do come from God. The grace is from God. Faith is from God. The recreation is from God. The good works themselves are from God. It is all of God. That's why I said it this way. Salvation is all of God. Not from works, but for works, which are all of God. For you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That we should walk in them. This idea of walking is that of a lifestyle. For a Jew, to walk in them means the lifestyle. Now, we are finishing up this first section, the first 10 verses of Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to look and I want you to see the great reversal that's taken place by the grace of God. Do you remember Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2? This is what God says of us. And we were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. And now, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. A whole new life. A whole new person. By grace through faith. Recreated by God. His masterpiece, His masterwork. For the works that He's prepared for you. That we should have a lifestyle that's lived by faith, according to the Word, and for His glory. So, with this, we end the first section of Ephesians chapter 2. So, what are our takeaways? I'll give you five takeaways. Five takeaways from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. First, know the depths from which we came. Know the depths from which we came. Or, know the depths in which you are, if you haven't received the grace of God. Know the depths from which we've came. Two, know that life is found only in Christ. Know the depth from which we've came, dead in our trespasses and sins. But know the life that is found in Christ. We've been made alive together in Christ. Or, If you're still dead in your sins, would you know today that life is only found in Christ Jesus and nothing else? Number three, know that salvation is only and all of God. Know the death from which we've came. Know that life is found only in Christ. Know that salvation is only and all of God. Four, would you know that you're His workmanship, you're His masterwork? And then five, would we now walk in good works? This is Ephesians chapter 2. Know the depths. Know the life. Know the salvation. Know that you were His workmanship. And now live a lifestyle driven from faith according to the words of God for the glory of God. This is what salvation is. This is what salvation does. And this is who God calls us to be.
Thank you for tuning in to this Christ Central Church sermon series. If you are currently seeking a church home, you can visit ChristCentralChurch.net to find our location along with more sermons like this one.